Ghostly Talk.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
How you doing? Another Sunday night. Ghostly Talk is on the air.
Oh yeah, every Sunday, 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Are you awake?
I am up and raring to go for the show. Okay. Although I know absolutely nothing about it. So
yeah, you know how it is.
I see you've got notes though, so we'll go for that. I'll ad lib.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, last night, on Clive Lewis's Ground Zero show.
Yeah.
Clive Lewis now has a song.
Oh, really?
Well, actually, a band wrote a song, and they debuted it on Clive's show.
What band was that?
The Something or Others. No, the...
That's a cool name,
no,
man.
It's the one that you
Oh, called. The Hellcannon.
The Hellcannon.
Yeah, all right, yeah. That band is rad, man. I dig those guys.
Something or Others is pretty cool, yeah.
You just something.
No, the Hellcannon, they made a song called Ground Zero.
So oh, really?
So Clive had him in, and they mentioned... my favorite plaid straitjacket.
Oh, really? Okay, well, I'll mention the Hill Candidates. www.hillcandidates.com. That's their website. Yeah, that's their website.
And so they mentioned you. So
very cool band. Very, very cool band. I've been there. I've downloaded other tunes, watched all their videos.
Well, they did the Ground Zero song, and it debuted last night on Clive Lewis. And it rocked. I mean, he played it like 3 or 4 times.
Oh, cool.
And it was awesome.
As a matter of fact, I think I have to... Yeah, that's what I keep forgetting to do every single day. I did talk to Mark a couple weeks ago from that band, the guitar player.
Yeah?
Which he has the sweetest guitar I've ever seen.
Yeah?
It's a Gibson Explorer. I forgot what year he said. I think he said it was a 74 Gibson Explorer. If you don't know what I'm talking about, probably, but...
It sounds
It's
cool.
A wicked-looking guitar.
Yeah.
It's a wood finish with a black pickguard. Oh, God. Excuse me for 1 minute. I'm going to go to the... No, we talked about that. He's like, give me your address, and I'll mail you out a CD or a compliment. So, hey, Mark, I'm sorry if you ever hear our show or if you are listening to the show. I'll get you that address tonight. I'm sorry about that.
Well, we, of course, have our intro was done by
Scott Kern.
Scott K.
Scott K.
Scott L.
I'm trying to get everybody, the whole, every letter of the L.
We're
going to
get
Scott in front
of
it.
We're going to line up 26 Scott and guess which initial.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was by Scott K.
Yeah.
The intro, so I guess we had our song first.
Yeah, and Scott K. Runs Stagehand Tools.
Stagehandtools.com.
Who has sent us a plethora of wonderful toys.
And I have another question. We're going to have to modify it a little bit, but I do have a question to some Phobos later in the show.
Okay.
So when he calls, we're going to have to give this another try.
Yeah, we talked about that before the show.
I emailed Gary, and Gary did not email me back. He must have been like...
He's angry. Well, I'm not going back to Mansfield. Then we might get lost in there.
It's this way, really.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No, that's not a hole in the floor. You're not going to fall. You'll be fine. Don't worry.
Optical illusion.
No. That is not a sewer rat. Just relax. It's a dog. It's a friendly dog. But, yeah, that question, I don't know if it's going to fly. The new one, not Gary's, the new question. But are we the question I'm going to ask
got,
you again.
We
have to mess with it a little bit.
Yeah.
But are we still going to give if Phobos is stumped, are we still going to give the award to this particular person?
We're going to leave it up to Phobos.
Oh.
What do you think of that?
Oh, and he's evil too.
Yeah, he don't like being stumped. So
like, you can get the prize, but you have to come to see Doug and Scott personally to get it. They probably live in like an Indochina or something.
No. We'll get to that later in the show.
Okay.
We are in the Zero Point Radio chat rooms. If you go to www.zprradio.com, enter, then click on Interact, go down to chat. We're in the chat rooms on the Undernet IRC network,
mm-hmm.
who dissed me earlier this week. I'm really, you know, their C service, their channel services. They dissed me.
You!
Me!
Doug,
personally.
Of Ghostly Talk.
Yes.
Oh, man, I'm going to call the cavalry in right now.
I couldn't believe it.
What was the nature of the diss?
Well, evidently they can't grasp the fact that here in a basement, haunted basement studio,
yeah.
that we have multiple computers with different real IP addresses. And the IP addresses on our computers, by the way, they reverse back to Semig.com. That's my last name, Semig.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like a real pro setup. I mean, even though it's in the Haunted Basement Studios.
No, this is a setup.
And we are hooked. You know, we are hooked in, and I mean, this is like all really cool kosher stuff. I mean, I did the networking, and they can't get it through their heads that there are multiple computers. You know, they think that I signed on twice, and I didn't. You know, and they must not understand that. So I don't know, but anyway. Yeah, I know. It doesn't matter to me. The thing is, despite the fact that they dissed me, the Undernet and the Internet IRC network has brought a lot of stuff to ZPR and the interactivity of this show, of Ghostly Talk,
mm-hmm.
and of ZPR in general. So, Undernet is out there. Undernet is huge. Undernet has literally tens of thousands of awesome people chatting at any given moment. And so it's the people that count, you know, regardless of
spoken like a true CEO.
Yeah. Regardless of C-Services.
We care about people. That's why we're going to fire you.
their draconian methodology. However, I don't know what else. I don't want to get onto it.
Okay, all right, we won't. We'll
anymore.
Leave it alone.
But go into the ZPR chat rooms and
just check it out.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I have something to talk about.
Uh
oh. Oh, do I have something? Rez, I have a bone to pick with you.
Oh no.
Do I have a bone to pick with you? Oh my God. Friday night, I come home from the bar. Yeah, from the bar. Every week I'm like on little vacations every week now. This sucks, man. I'm like broke all the time now because it's like all my expendable income goes to alcohol. It totally is. It's fun, but at the end of the week I'm like, okay, how am I gonna get to work? I don't have any money to put in my gas tank, so the credit card comes in handy. But come home Friday night, and I was talking to Rez on Yahoo or something like that, and she's like, I never see you in the chat rooms. What's going on? And I'm like, well, you know, my computer don't let me do it. And I'm, you know, I got so many other things going on right now with my new system that I'm getting to that. She's like, well, there's this cool patch you can use for XP, a Java patch that'll make that thing work. Because I told her what was going on.
Awesome.
I'm like, okay, cool. All right, well, I'll try it out. Downloaded it. Wow, everything works. I can go in there and talk all the time, right? So I went in there and made a complete fool of myself, and then I went to bed, right? Next day I get up, do some more stuff, mess around, this and that. Decide to install some new software. Restart the machine like you do with every piece of software, and it says internet failure launch. Click OK. Okay. So I mess around.
I've been stumped by some of
those. Some of these interesting pop-ups you get, especially with XP. So I click OK, and I said, like, okay, well, let's just tinker around. Maybe I got to adjust the configuration or something. And I went to adjust the configuration, and the whole machine locked up. Okay, well, you know, stuff happens. No big deal. It's XP. What do you want? The little doggy starts wagging his tail or whatever. Restart the machine, and now I can't get into Windows.
Oh, goodness.
To make a long story short, 4.5 hours later, after bringing out the recovery disks, running a system patch, doing a workaround to not lose all the stuff that I have on my new machine, I was back up and running again. Without the JavaScript.
Uh-oh. Well, I'm going to have to teach you how to use MIRC.
50 lashings.
50 lashings?
Burns.
Dig out the cat of 50 tails.
Burns. All right, I'm kidding. I didn't mean that. Yes, I did, damn it. I'm angry. No big deal. It was my own fault. I probably screwed something up. No big deal. But, yeah, that Java patch, I know a lot of people use that, actually, because a lot of people were having the same problems on Rez's network, the Psychic Chat network.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they had the same problems or not, but maybe it's a heads up. Watch out for that, depending if you have XP, especially, because XP, it burps back everything you throw at it.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing compatible with that. That's why if you go to Microsoft's page, there's patches for all their operating systems. If you go to the XP page, it's like just scrolling for days, man.
Oh, man.
You know, still, Windows 98, you have like two patches. You can install anything you want in Windows 98, the oldest, most archaic operating system on the planet, and no problems at all. Works great. But XP, high tech, man.
Yeah.
High tech, latest and greatest, man.
Everything's a subsystem.
That stupid dog. Strangle that stupid dog. Anyways.
We're going to talk about
cults
today.
Famous cults. We talked about doing cults last week.
Yeah.
So I sat down and said, okay, are we going to talk about the dynamics of cults, how cults get started, how to start your own cult, you know, step-by-step instruction guide here. But I didn't think that would be very noteworthy, and it would be very hard to discuss, too, because, I mean, really, what is the dynamic of a cult? Think about it.
Well, mindless.
Well, yeah, I mean, we can get into that.
Oh, okay.
Now, the one thing I do want to illustrate, which comes from another person, who I don't remember what the name is, so I'm probably going to get sued by the end of the week. But it was a comedian that I saw a number of years ago, and he was discussing cults of this nature. You know, like, you know, Charlie Manson and the family and all those fun people. David Koresh, Heaven's Gate, which we're going to be talking about in depth today. He did say one thing about it that made sense. He said that, you know, you people make fun of all these cult leaders and, you know, how they're crazy and they're whack on this, but these guys are convincing hundreds and thousands of people that they're God. What have you done this week? Something to think about. They have a talent to do something. Where do they get this talent from? That's the question I have, which we're probably not going to answer, so forget it. But no, it's something to think about.
Oh, wait, you can't stump Bobo, so you're exempted from the rule. So, you can't answer.
And I thought about that, too, today, too, going to my parents' house. I'm like, you know what, I'm going to get a question and win some more stuff.
You could.
And I couldn't do that, though. That'd be so rude.
Yeah?
We'd lose, like, all 10 of our fans, man.
Oh, I know.
Why would we want to do that?
That would suck.
That would suck completely, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, stump Phobos.
What I want to do eventually is I want to get more guests on.
Yeah.
Because that was a really cool format.
That's going to be happening. I'm working on getting more people on. It's just a matter of... Oh, we did get... Oh, I forgot the name now. Never mind. We did get a package this week.
Oh, you did?
We got a package, a press pack.
You did?
Yeah, so I'm going to have to... You know, I forget everything.
That's so cool.
I'm sorry, I forgot. Next week, we'll talk about it.
All right.
Or we'll try to talk about it. We'll talk about it this week so we can figure it out.
Well, book
them. Okay.
Book them.
Let me call him right now.
Yeah. I want him on the show.
Yeah, sorry. Absent mind, I forgot to grab it before I walked out. That's going to be happening more, though.
Cool.
We enjoyed having guests on the show. It was a new dimension for Ghostly Talk. Made it a lot easier on us, too. Talk so much.
Well, it's not necessarily easier to do that. I don't know if folks want to hear this or not, but the dynamics of doing an internet radio show are sometimes grueling, oftentimes fun.
I'm sweating right now.
But, well, it's a haunted basement, yeah.
It's hot down here.
You need to find a cold spot, that's all. But the...
grab the mic and walk around here.
But the dynamics of doing an internet radio show, a live internet radio show, are you know, sometimes fun, but often they're very grueling and hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to think of something to say is sometimes quite difficult.
Oh, yeah.
Like whenever I call Clyde Lewis, I just absolutely forget everything I ever knew, and I don't know why. I can sit here and talk for hours on end behind a microphone, but... Put me on the phone with Clyde Lewis.
Well, yeah. Well, comparatively speaking, I mean, we both know this, and we both show the respect that he deserves.
Yeah.
Clyde Lewis, I mean, I listen to his show all the time, and the guy is just brilliant.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
He's just got a natural flair. That's what his passion is, and that's what he knows how to do.
Well, he was like a reporter, kind of.
I mean,
he takes the facts and deals with them and organizes them, and that's what he's good at. And then he gets awesome, I mean, just awesome guests and stuff. So last night, David John Oates. I called and asked David John Oates a question.
Wait, he had the Hell Candidates and David John Oates?
Yeah, Hell Candidates were the first hour, and then the rest of the time was David John Oates.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just bringing everybody down there.
It was awesome.
And he had them play live in the studio there, too?
Well, no, they were in the studio live, but then they played it from a tape.
Oh, okay. So, that's cool. All right. I don't know how big his play. I know the Haunted Basement Studios. I mean,
we could build an addition. Yeah,
we'll get one of those doo-wop haircut bands down here. What do they call them? Oh God, forget it. Anyway, barbershop quartet.
Oh yeah,
like the B flats from The Simpsons.
The B flats.
Don't you remember the B flats?
No, I do not remember the B flats.
Oh God, they were great.
I love The Simpsons.
It was Homer Simpson. It was Hapu from the Party Store. It was Barney, I think.
Oh.
And it was the bartender. I forgot the bartender's name.
Barney reminds me of somebody, but I'm
Barney?
Not going to say who.
Who?
I can't say on the air. I'll tell you
well,
later.
Me?
No, not you.
I used to be a fat, disgusting schlob. I love that guy, man. It's what I'm turning into nowadays.
Will knows who reminds me of Barney.
Oh, really? Yeah. Big secret. Wow.
I talk about it a lot.
Can't wait for the first break now. Oh. Oh, it's a girl.
Yes.
Oh, I know. I know who it is.
Don't say it.
Oh, come on.
No.
I know who you're talking about.
Oh, God. There's so much controversy.
There's enough alcohol, drugs, heroin, you name it, in the world. Oh, God. Oh, God.
We are now officially out of hand.
Oh.
She's had two kids with her.
Oh. They procreated.
It did. Yeah.
It spawned. Was it like photosynthesis or something? It wasn't sexual reproduction, was it?
Maybe we should talk about demons or something.
Dude, there's demons. You're kidding me? That's child's play compared to the horror. The hell unleashed it. That thing can...
I know.
Break time.
It makes...
Hold you down. I feel dirty right now.
It makes my skin crawl as well. So there you go.
Nice person, though. Friendly person.
Oh, not from what I heard.
Friendly.
Just guessed who we were talking about.
Way to go, Lisa. All right. Lisa's in the chat room.
That's great. Nulo. Thank you, yeah. Nulo on Ghostly Talk. We're ripping on someone that... That person's probably listening to the show, and I go, God, that person must be really ugly. Oh,
you know,
my darling.
Say, okay, wait a minute.
You're going straight to hell, and so are you. I didn't start this. You guys started it.
We should set up a cult based on her.
No.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
Cult of a dead cow or...
Okay, I have to say...
Woolly mammoth.
I know the first half hour of Ghostly Talk is quite often...
the BS session.
Light and happy and stuff like that.
This is just mean.
Yeah, horror. And
you guys brought it up, though, and I... Ugh.
Like, I brought it up.
I gotta express myself here, man, and she's nasty, man.
It's my fault. But have you ever... tell me honestly. Have you ever heard Nexus Domain?
Yes.
You have heard Nexus Domain?
One time.
With Stephen Mack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? At Will? Have you heard Nexus Domain?
Not yet.
I actually got to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard a replay of it, and then I heard most of a live show.
Mm-hmm.
I missed... Steve is now doing another one called, I don't know, Friday Night Steve or something like that. He's doing another show, and but I have to say, Steve, he also called in and talked to me the week that...
Yeah, I was gone. Yeah, I heard that.
The week you were gone.
I was gone, yeah.
Yeah, and Nexus Domain is so... different from
but it's excellent.
I don't know how he gets these guests, you know. He's had just amazing. He had Michelle Whiteside on. That's the show that I heard live.
Oh, we love her.
I heard
isn't she cool?
She rocks the planet.
Very, very
that's
cool.
All I can say about Michelle Whiteside.
See, what's cool about interviewing people, and Steve would know this too, is that in between, in the commercials, we talk to these people too. We just talk to them about whatever. I mean, we discuss things with them, too, maybe like what we're going to do next after the break. But we get to talk to these people, and, you know, you get to, like, you know, let your hair down a little bit and discuss things with them and see that these are real people. They're not, you know, you get promo packs from these people, and you're like, wow, they're like rock stars and stuff. And really, they put their pants on in the morning.
Yeah.
The same as we do.
Yeah, but folks like Mark Russell Bell and the DJ Tron and Michelle Whiteup, they've got these experiences that are just phenomenal. I mean, they're different than ours, and so that's what makes it really, really interesting.
Well, yeah. Well, the issue with Michelle, I told you what happened, how we got in contact with her.
Yeah, like UPN called.
Yeah, I was sitting at work, and Shante, her publicist, called from UPN. And I'm sitting at work, and my cell phone goes off, and it's like, hello? Yeah, hang on, let me call you back in 2 minutes. You know, that's me telling her that. And she's like, okay. So I called her back outside, and I'm like, hi, I'm sorry, that was rude, but I was in a meeting and I had to run outside to, you know, call. Oh, you're at work? Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, well, you want to call me back? No, what's going on? Well, I'm Shante Powers. I think Shante Powers is her name.
Yeah.
Michelle Whitedove's publicist from UPN. Oh, really? So now I'm like, okay, she has a representative. She has, like, her personal, like, you know, what's up, yo? This is my people's calling up here.
My peeps call your people.
So that was a bit intimidating. I'm like, okay, what are we thinking? Okay, so we have you confirmed for 7:30 to 8:30 on Sunday, June 8th or 6th or whatever the date was. And I'm like, yeah, okay, great. Hopefully you guys call. No, you call us. Okay, we'll call you then, no problem. So I was kind of like very organized, very formal, and we're not used to that here on this show anymore.
Oh, gosh, no. That's the thing. And, like, Steve runs Nexus Domain, you know, extremely professionally, extremely, like, you know, like he's got a schedule and everything like that. And Ghostly Talk is, like, so different.
We've talked about that a million times. It used to be like that, like, the first week.
Yeah, I've hidden those archives safely tucked away. they haven't been on the server since Project 2 started.
Accidentally hit that delete key. I don't know what happened to them, Scott. They're gone. We'll never get them again.
Well,
but what you don't know is I have those archived on CD.
Well, I have them on CD as well. Mm-hmm. And you know who else has them, fortunately or unfortunately?
Who?
ZPR.
Where'd they get them from? They hacked the server.
No,
I'm coming down there right now.
I sent them to them.
You sent them to them?
Uh-huh.
You're trying to wreck us, aren't you?
I know
how we can get rid of GP.
we'll just play old ghostly talk.
Hi, this is Ghostly Talk. I just got help.
And I'm Doug.
No, it was creepier than what's her name?
Oh, no, she's pretty creepy. Yeah, but, all right.
Did God create that?
Yeah, well...
Okay, now let it go. I can't, I'm going to have nightmares tonight.
So, yeah, ZPR has the old Ghostly Talks.
Oh,
and they were pretty formal. I mean,
yeah,
they were very formal. We had an outline and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we just kind of turn the mics on for 2 hours, and there we are.
Go with whatever we can, whatever time we can fill.
Yeah.
Plenty of dead air for you to enjoy. That's always fun.
Sometimes.
Yeah, it happens. Whatever. We have fun. We're going to talk about cults today, though.
Yeah.
Cults is going to be the topic of discussion. Now, before we go to a break, though, I did, throw a little thing in there about that. What do you think, just something for people to think about, what do you think gives a man or a woman this kind of power to convince hundreds and thousands of people, well, let's just say hundreds, we don't want to get too crazy, that they are God, or this is the way to believe, and you need to do this to go to heaven, or whatever it is?
Well, that's an absolutely excellent question, because that is something I'd love to tackle. I would love to delve into and really... So we're going to work primarily on that. I mean, we'll give some highlights of some famous cults.
Yeah, yeah.
But primarily, we're going to be talking then, hopefully, if people call in.
Yeah, you guys need to call in on this, because we don't know a thing about this at all.
So we want to hear from you guys, too. So
yeah,
after
what do you guys think? I think all of us in our lives, at one point in our lives, we've had a chance to be in the leadership role with whatever group, organization, club we're running or doing, and we've had a chance to take the lead, take the reins, and you're going to be the one that has to convince these people that this is the right thing to do, whether it be with work or with a club or anything.
Or a project. Or, yeah, anything.
What type of skills do you have to have, natural or trained, to perform that kind of thing, and then take it to a magnitude of hundreds of people that are willing to give you every dollar they have?
Well, there's also not more than that, but akin to that in everybody's lives. For example, I have in the past idolized certain famous people. For example, and if gotta get from Will
the ale.
For example,
thank you.
If when I was in high school, if like Cyndi Lauper would have called me or something like that, Cyndi, call me, one day, I would have been like a puddle of goo. I would have been just like absolutely flabbergasted and amazed, and it would have been ridiculous.
Good enough, call me.
Well, she was so strong and independent and different, and I just...
She was different. Very different.
I liked everything about that, and the people around her, her mom, her manager / boxing coach or whatever.
Captain Lou Albano.
Yeah, all
with the rubber bands hanging from his face.
That's it. And all these folks, they just made this persona, this something that I idolized, I thought was just phenomenal.
Well, she was very different back in the day, because, Cyndi Lauper, for example. Cyndi Lauper. Okay. Cyndi Lauper,
no,
for
I'm
example.
Not, I,
no, no, it's good. No, I'm just, no.
I'll tell you how that relates after your thought.
But her persona, her image was very different.
Yeah.
It was, like you just said, she wasn't, hot. I mean, she was hot. She was beautiful.
Oh,
she was gorgeous. But
she still is.
Oh, God. Her and Joan Jett. Joan Jett.
Oh, yeah.
Joan Jett is bad, dude.
One of my 83 MP3s that I have on my hard drive. I have 83. I am not a music,
That's like tip of the iceberg for my
hard
drive.
One of my 83s is Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. I don't remember which one.
Now, Rock and Roll.
Probably. I'll have to dig it
up. Crimson and Clover.
That's it. Crimson and Clover.
Beavis and Butthead.
But no, it relates in that I had these unsubstantiated feelings and emotions and idolization for this person whom I didn't even know.
Question, though, okay. Before you even say anything else, question. If she called you up back then and said, "Hi, Doug," and you'd be like, exactly. But once you started making words, "Hi, Cindy," you start talking, and she's like, "Hey, I want you to fly out here right now and move in with me and be my servant. Be my, not my slave, but my servant, you know, my right-hand guy," or, you know, would you have done it? Would you have thrown everything away and said, "Whoa."
What, give up all this? Yes, I okay. would have. I probably would have.
Now, you're Charles Manson.
Well, see, now that's where another...
That's where it relates, though.
That's a little bit... Yeah, okay. In my mind, pardon me. My estimation or whatever, I don't... See, another thing about cults is acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing about cults. Well, I had a family that loved me, although we were rebelling. You know, I mean, that's how you do it when you're a teenager.
That's why you listen to Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah, but you still have this support group. I had a pretty stable, loving family. I had friends. I had things to do. I had a level of acceptance in my life.
Yeah, same here.
Where I didn't need that. I didn't crave the acceptance part of cults.
Yeah, neither did I.
So I probably...
I just learned how to play bass and join a band. Yeah. That's what I did.
It would have... I don't think that Charles Manson or Jim Jones or any of the other people we'll talk about after the break, I don't think that any of them could have convinced me through their usual tool of acceptance. Because I already had that in my life.
You already had it, exactly.
So I was extremely fortunate. You know, I wasn't vulnerable because of that.
Yes. But there is that equilibrium between Cyndi Lauper and Charles Manson, for example. That there is, like I just said.
Well, what it is I had the same idolization.
Yeah.
But what I didn't get from her was acceptance. She forgot to call me.
Yeah, that's
so
the problem.
So therefore I didn't move out there and become her slave.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's how it works, though. That's really how it works, though. And a lot of these people that were part of these cults are part of these cults, because there's plenty of them around today.
Oh yeah.
A lot of these people do come from families that are like that. They didn't. There was no support structure.
Right.
There was no family there for them to back them up and love them and show and give them the love they need and the attention they needed. Because a lot of the time, it is attention.
And even if there is all that, a lot of times, like, see, my rebellious stage, I was extremely rebellious. But the ties that my family, you know, worked into me were so strong that no matter how far I rebelled, they still accepted me, and you know,
I'm here
for you. And
I'm still rebelling, are you kidding me?
Oh, man, I pushed the limits and pushed the limits and pushed the limits, and yet they were still there. Mm. And whatever that is, I mean, the elastic band that ties me to my family was never broken, and it kept pulling me back. And I, you know, everybody, I think, needs that and desires that.
Yeah.
When those bands break, somebody then, therefore, is like alone or feels alone.
Uh-huh.
That's a weakness.
Exactly.
And they can fulfill that weakness with the acceptance of a leader that they can idolize.
And that's what I think a lot of these people, that's what they were yearning for. You're right.
Yeah.
They wanted to be accepted.
I wanted to get that out before Phobos called and said, you didn't know that it's all about acceptance.
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't we take a break? Why don't we just chill out for a minute? Yes, we are over. Look at us.
Oh, my gosh.
We're on fire today. Let's take a quick break. Let's chill. We need to get our heads screwed on here. And...
There we go.
You know how
we're going to start the break.
Yeah. I need to take a nap.
This will be excellent.
I need a nap.
We'll be right back, everyone. More about help.
You're on Ghostly Time.
It's paranormal scientific. It's so smart.
I have a question for you. What do you get when you put a woman, who may or may not want a pet monkey, some heavy chains, a deck of tarot cards, a computer, and an astrological chart all in the same room?
Well, that's a really good question.
Besides a visit from PETA and a vacation in a sanitarium, you get Resmerized.
You are in for some lively big trouble.
She is Resmiranda. She glimpses us and our futures and tells all every week on Resmerized. Get Resmerized live around midnight every time a Monday turns into a Tuesday. Only Resmiranda can Resmerize you, and you can only find Resmiranda on Zero Point Radio.
This is Resmiranda, and you have been Resmerized.
I'm in there, too.
Snow Queen's gone, but Borg is in there. Now, Borg. Borg is that's the handle of this fellow who called into Clive Lewis last night.
Oh, really?
13 years old.
13?
Asked David John Oates a question.
What did he ask him? Do you remember?
No, I don't. Oh, if he had a certain clip of somebody. But, you know, because David John Oates has a reverse speech. And I was so impressed. I thought that was so cool. And I've been trying to get him to call Ghostly Talk. So we'll see. Anyway, Brandy's in there. Ego Hat. Fishmeal. Fishmeal's been listening to Ghostly Talk forever. Fishmeal. Lakota. Lakota does paranormal-x.com. So we got big, big, big webmasters around here. Lisa, of course. Lorelei. Max from Canada, Money Shot, who of course we talked about already, stagehandtools.com. We've got Phobos, who will hopefully be calling in for his question. We have Pyro Paran, Pi Wacket. Oh, Steve's away from the keyboard. That's Nexus Domain Steve. I tried to get him to call in too. We have the user Zagros Zanny, who does those awesome graphics, and 235. So. And Rich now. I mean, it's just amazing. And they talk in the chat rooms just constantly throughout the show. So go there. It's amazing stuff. I have fun.
I sit in the corner. Hi, I'm back here.
You breathe in and
I come in at the end of the show. And go, shut up, all of you. I hate you. Goodbye. I'm going home. I'm going to bed.
That confused a lot of people, but they'll get used to it. Yeah.
What did Doug say? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't change names. Doug, I'm sorry. I got to go.
Thanks.
Cults.
Cults.
I want to be a...
cult leader.
There you go. Nice. Nice. What should we talk about first?
Oh, man. Just pick one of them at random. Pick one, we'll talk about.
How about Jim Jones and the People's Temple?
And you guys. While we're talking about this, we're going to be presenting this information for another hour and a half.
Yeah, man.
Help make it interesting. Call 1-888-520-1969. Now, they told me it was international now, but Max tried it from Canada yesterday, and it didn't work. So,
oh, really?
So try it from wherever you happen to be. Try it and see if you can dial 1-888-520-1969. The rules are, if it's ringing... It'll ring and you're next.
Yeah, just keep letting it ring.
Because
until
we don't
we
have
see
no
the,
call queue.
Yeah, until we see, like, the blinker.
When we see the light blinking, we hit that light and you're on.
Yeah,
Until then, just let it ring.
See, because we're so concentrating on what we're doing here, sometimes we don't see the light.
Yeah, it's tough to do a show.
Yeah, it's tough.
Pick one.
Jim Jones and the People's Temple. What do you think?
I remember that. I was, I mean, I don't remember that.
Were you there?
I'm still 27.
You were the one person that didn't drink the Kool-Aid, huh? Like, you know what, there's not enough sugar in this. I think I'm just going to go across the way here and you guys just go about your business.
I don't like that kind of Kool-Aid.
I don't. I think it's grape. I think it's from the story.
It is
grape. It's well,
see, now, had it been green Kool-Aid,
I don't. Why don't I just tell the story
it.
Here?
Tell the story of Jim Jones. I do remember this when this happened.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. This is going to be good. Jim Jones and the People's Temple. Jim Jones created the People's Temple as an interracial mission for the sick, homeless, and jobless. In the 50s, his following in Indianapolis, Indiana, was well over 900 due to his gospel of equality, love, and freedom for society's lowest members. Persecuted and ridiculed for their socialist beliefs, Jim Jones moved to the temple to Ukiah, California, where he predicted the end of the world via nuclear war. Well, I've been doing that for years. Later, the temple moved to San Francisco, then L.A., and in the 70s to Jonestown, Guyana.
Yes.
Okay.
Jonestown, Guyana.
Thank you, Doug.
Shut up! I tried. I mean, you
were... Yeah, that's right. Jonestown, Guyana.
That's the one! I remember it.
I'm like the rapper guy, and you're the guy behind me, you know, the deaf guy. We're talking about the deaf guy. What? What? What?
What?
Can't hear you! All right, so...
I think we've established that.
Okay, Jonestown, Guyana. In case you didn't know. In the late 70s, after human rights abuses were reported, a delegation including U.S. Congressman Leo Ryan inspected the compound, which sparked a paranoid shooting spree by the temple security, in which 4 people and Congressman Ryan himself were killed. Fearing the consequences, Jones and the People's Temple opted for a group suicide and drank cyanide-laced grape Kool-Aid. 638 adults, including Jones and 276 children, died that day.
How
is very sad.
Just under 1,000 people
We got a phone call coming in, by
the way. All right.
Max Fried Chicken, how can I help you?
Hello. Is this Ghostly Talk?
Yeah, it's Ghostly Talk, man.
Yeah, this is Ghostly Talk.
Because it didn't... Okay. Yeah, right. This is Steve.
Hi, Steve. How you doing,
Steve.
Man?
Steve. You mean
Steve. I'd like to talk about the Ray Aliens.
Oh, there's an interesting cult.
See, I didn't have that on my list, so thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, I happen to have looked into that.
Steve,
yeah.
why don't you start out by enlightening us about this?
Yes, tell us everything you know.
Okay, well, so far I pretty much know that, you know, the cult leader, Rael, I think, or you know, he is
all right, here we go. Let me help out just a wee little bit, okay?
Reincarnation of Jesus, pretty much.
No. Oh my gosh.
Oh, he does.
No, I think you've got a little bit off track. Let me tell you real quick, okay?
Okay.
Doug, you know about this.
Yes. He was an Italian, like, race car announcer, like for racing.
Okay.
In Italy, or he was a race car driver, something to do with race cars. He was on a hike in the mountains.
Okay.
And the aliens, you know, landed, and they bestowed upon him all of this, all of their teachings.
Okay.
Okay, about, you know, the planet on the, you know, the planet Earth and all the inhabitants and how they were all actually clones of, you know, aliens. They needed to clone, you know, make a race of people, and they made us.
Okay.
Okay. So that's all of that's, you know, the necessary facts about the guy who started, you know, Raelians. And yes, his name as it is now is Rael.
There's a little truth to that, though. Well, not that we're clones, but but David Twitchell on our show told me that, you know, he thought he was the reincarnation of Jesus.
David Twitchell?
Yeah, David Twitchell.
No, okay. No. Who? Wait. You mean Rael is the reincarnation?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't doubt that he would have expanded his claims, mm-hmm. you know, in order to keep a grasp on the cult, you know, on the followers. So, but it started with him hiking in the mountains or biking in the mountains, doing something in the mountains, being visited by aliens, and they bestowed upon him the secrets of you know, life on Earth. So that's how it started. And if he's expanded his claim since then, the reincarnation of Jesus and blah, 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 you know, that just follows, you know, a pattern. So
you should add that their link to their website on your website, because I know you were putting a lot of cult links on your website, right?
Well, we put fun links on our website.
Yeah, we had a show, what was it, last week?
Oh, yeah, there was a Create a Cult.
Create a cult website.
Create a
yeah.
cult website. That wasn't as fun.
Hey, check that out.
Yeah, did you create one?
Yeah.
We created what? Alpha cult.
Alpha cult or something.
Alpha cult.
Yeah.
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 So that was pretty cool. So the Raelians. You've got this leader, Jean something or other, who is now called Rael. And what else about them?
They believe that we were created by extraterrestrials. What else? I don't know that much.
Come on,
okay. Okay, here, let me...
All right.
Let me just, I don't know. They think that they're all reincarnations of something or other. I don't know. Maybe they're a communion of spirits, they think. I don't know. Who knows?
Well, from what I understand, the interesting part about the Raelians is not only, you know, their leader... But there's also the fact that they did claim to clone human babies, and
I knew that.
Yeah, I know you knew that.
You did.
I'm just prompting your memory.
Yeah.
And what happens is, what had happened was this fellow in like, I'm thinking West Virginia, but it's in that region anyway. It may not be specifically West Virginia. This fellow had lost his son.
Okay.
And of course he's extremely sad about this. Happened to be like a rich doctor or something like that. He gave a lot of money to the Raelians to form a Clonaid. So they formed this company called Clonaid.
Okay.
And Clonaid then used this money and they purchased a not in use anymore high school.
Okay.
So they outfitted this high school with all kinds of really impressive, expensive equipment. And they told this doctor fellow, we're going to clone your son, you know, give us a hair follicle or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And so they were working on it. Then they claimed to have cloned, not this fellow's son, but they then claimed to have cloned, I think...
Called her Eve, right?
Three, what?
Eve, right? They called the...
Right, Eve was the first one, and then...
Is that right?
They did several, and I think three, a lesbian couple in Italy somewhere, they wanted a clone.
Oh, okay.
And they got one, and the first clone, though, I think was to a family in, supposedly, I guess, in Florida. And I'm not making this up, I'm just going by my weak and tired memory. But that's what I believe I read. Of course, all of these things are unsubstantiated, but they did indeed cause a humongous amount of press over
the past year. And controversy, I imagine.
And controversy.
Yeah.
So how did they do it? That's my question to you, Steve.
Hey, I don't know. They
not technically, but I mean, how did they convince otherwise upstanding members of the scientific communities, of, you know, citizens of the United States and countries all over the world,
well,
they convinced them that this, you know, Rael and
they might have, you know, some kind of, what's it called, experience in, you know, hypnotism, I don't know.
No,
I
think it's very simple. I think it's very simple. Now, you talked about a gentleman who lost his son. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A gentleman who lost his son. Now, I know none of us guys in this basement have kids. Steve, are you a father?
Oh, no.
Okay. So we don't know firsthand. We can only know what we've seen, you know, from other people who have lost their children. And I can only imagine that would probably be the worst thing that could ever happen to anybody. I don't care what happens to you in life. That's probably the worst thing that could ever happen to you is to lose a child. Now, Rael comes to you and says, hey,
we can help you out.
We can help you. We can bring your son back.
Do you think it was worth it, though? I mean, putting your faith, this man put his faith and trust and hopes and dreams and passion and sorrow.
He was desperate.
Everything.
Yeah, he was desperate.
He was, yeah. But he put all this stuff, you know, and money into this man, into Rael.
Now that's one side of the coin, though. The other side, as you said, he recruited scientists, brilliant minds, to work on this, to do the technical work, to clone a human being. How do you convince them? Here's how that would work. It's very simple. You have a scientist. And just like anybody else, scientists are out there trying to create new things to help our race advance, to help us make our lives easier and make our lives better and improve our quality of life. What better way to improve your quality of life than bring back a loved one that you miss so much?
Well, yeah, the scientists were interested in that. I mean,
yeah, but the scientists were probably also interested in how much damn money they can make off that, too.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
But the difference between these scientists and other scientists are they were also railing.
Okay.
Are.
But they were convinced by...
They were convinced outside of this quest to clone people. They were convinced that you know, Rael and all his teachings were you know, the truth.
Yeah.
Were what happened and how we are here on the Earth. And that we're all clones and that we all came from that outer space, you know...
That's the difficult part right there. I mean, that would be where these skills we're talking about, these people's skills, this magic that some people have about them. There's this, and I know firsthand, I have, well, my roommate, for example, is a perfect example. When I was a bouncer with him, he was my mentor as a bouncer, bouncing in the clubs, right?
Yeah.
This gentleman, I'll just say his name's Jim, because that's his name.
Oh, okay.
What a good idea.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jim will remain anonymous for the rest of the show.
But Jim, I mean, just a quick description. You've met Jim.
Yeah.
He's a little shorter than me and you, and we're not tall guys.
Nope.
But he's about as wide as a house.
He's a big boy.
That's not nice to say on the show.
He's a big boy. He's a big boy.
Oh, he works at it. He's not a mess.
He's not a sloppy mess.
He pumps iron.
He's strong.
He is strong.
But this gentleman, I've watched this guy firsthand. Now, if I was put into a situation where I had to deal with some raving drunk, it usually ended up me grabbing him by the hair and having to drag him out the door if I could, right? I couldn't sit there and talk to him. I could not do that. I tried to, but there was just no way I could calm him down. I would watch Jim walk up to these people who are raving lunatics because they have 12, 13, 15 beers and shots in them, right? And they're out of control. That you can't talk to them because they got alcohol in them. They're dumb. They're stupid, right?
Yeah.
He would walk up to them, and you'd just see this person, bah, 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 and throw my hands around like a lunatic right now.
People. I can imagine that.
Yeah, okay. You're not talking about it. You've probably been to the bar. And he would just, I would watch him take his hands and go, and he just put his hand up like, just calm down for a second. And look him right in the face, and these people would go,
and he
what does, am I acting like an idiot for?
He commands instant respect.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that is a skill that these people have also, I believe. That they can talk to people and look them in the eye and convince them that this is the way. This is the only way.
Well, when you start putting scientific notions into kind of a religious kind of way, I mean, it kind of puts it in a different light, you know? And so I think it would be easier to convince people if it were done religiously like this. Therefore, that's why it's a cult. I mean,
actually, the Raelians are a little bit different in that most of the cults that we have on our notes are shown up. Most of the cults here are political oriented. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, you know, from Patty, although we're not talking about Patty Hearst, you know, Patty Hearst and these folks, most of it is political. Raelians are a little bit different, I mean, in that they're, you know, the religious part of a cult is there, yes, but they're doing the scientific aspect then. And normally you don't marry, you know, religion and science, but you can marry this religious fervor and politics. Mm-hmm. Because people get all bent out of shape about politics.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, watch any, you know, Fox News channel, and you're like, it's all politics 24/7.
Weapons of mass destruction.
God.
Let's remote view them right now, shall we?
Yeah.
The thing is, so Raelians are slightly different, because I can't think of, offhand anyway, of another cult that did the science, you know, science and cult. I can think of a lot that did politics and cult.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
What I see with all cults, it ties into religion, too. Cause
yeah.
Really, the one thing I learned about religion, just religion, the word religion, the definition of religion, whatever you believe, it has to answer one question. And it has to answer the question, why me? A big why me?
Yeah.
A question mark ever. You can tie that into any religion. I don't care what it is. It has to explain why me.
Because
that ties into what happens around you every day.
Yeah.
The hook with cults is they have, like you said, there's a lot of political oriented. Most of them are very politically oriented. We know firsthand as people that, especially in this country, the U.S. of A., the good old U.S. of A., that things are screwed up. They really are. I mean, to be quite honest.
The way of putting it.
Things are. Things are screwed up. I don't want to get into the details of that. We all know.
Yeah, I know what. I know what.
Okay? And a lot of these people, such as Charles Manson, Jim Jones, were preaching things such as racial equality.
Right. We have the answer.
Racial equality. And there's, I mean, I'm not even going to touch that with a 10-foot pole on this show. Unless I want to get shot at. But we think about the common sense that goes into that. Okay, racial equality. Let's just be equal. It's very simple, but it's a lot harder to do than that.
Yeah,
there are many complications.
These people simplify that for a lot of people and go, yeah, I've been thinking about that for years. That's exactly what I've been thinking. And these people touch their heart.
And that's the hook. That's the hook. They get something they can identify with. They feel, basically, when, for example, there's a fellow who comes in the ZPR chat room called Sharky.
Uh-huh.
And when he comes in, he says, feel my love. And it's true.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's what happens. They feel accepted. They feel the other people. They have a and then with that connection, there's a connection. Yeah. I've always thought this way. I've always thought, you know, we could clone people. I always thought we could, we were out from outer space. I always thought that the politics of the USA or wherever this
it touches home with people.
Yes.
With lots of people.
And then there's a connection. So there's a connection, there's the acceptance, and there's the idyllic leader preaching all these morals and supposedly, you know, good things.
Steve, what's your favorite band?
Yeah, the one you wanted me to vote for. Wait, was it you? I don't know.
Oh, did I hit you with that?
Yeah.
I've been combing the internet all weekend.
My favorite plaid leather. I don't know.
Thanks, you know what?
Good answer.
Good answer.
Good answer.
No, seriously, what is your favorite band? I know it isn't my band.
My favorite song is officially Choctaw Bingo by, I don't know, R.F. Burns told me about it, so, and I heard it on one of the shows. I don't know.
What do you like about that song?
I don't know. I just like it because it's a Western. I don't know.
You like it because it's a Western. Well,
I like it. I don't know.
Do you remember any of the lyrics or anything about it?
No. I remember, like something about Coca-Cola or something. I don't know.
Okay. Steve, you're not a music person, are you?
I am.
Well, yeah. the point I was trying to illustrate is that, I mean, it ties in with music. I mean, just for an example, because I can relate to that a lot.
Yeah.
I'll hear a song.
I'm very music. Yeah. A really.
The music does move you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll hear a song from anybody, whoever, it don't matter.
Dixie Chicks.
Yeah, the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah.
Use them as an example.
Oh, let's not. I know, they were doing the news again. Yeah, okay.
But no, what I'm saying, though, is you hear a song, you listen to the lyrics, along with the music, and that will move you. And that person may say something.
Yeah.
That moves you. That you go, wow, that really ties up a lot of things in my life. And I'm not saying that this is a cult leader we're talking about, but that's how people get hooked on music, is it touches them, it comes to them, it hits home to them. And it's
part of psychology. I wrote up a little article about it. If you have something in your mind already that you, like, firmly believe, and then somebody else comes and proclaims something else, that you know, it will shake your worldview, even if you do not believe in it right away, or even if you don't believe in it at all,
uh-huh.
You know, it will shake your world, too. It's not, if you do not believe in ghosts, God forbid,
or
extraterrestrials or anything, and then somebody comes along and says, okay, I just saw a ghost and I was abducted by an ET, you know, that will shake your world, too.
Yeah.
Really.
Depending on who that person may be, though.
Well, I mean, you have to put trust. There's a certain trust amount. I mean, so if we're going to go psychological on this, okay, you're going to have to put some a bit of your trust in that person that's telling you the story.
Uh-huh.
You're going to have to trust them. You're going to have they're going to have to do something to you to make that story move you. And same thing with songs. I mean, not that you have to trust the singer or even, you know, like the singer as a person, but that you have to like put something into the music as well. The music can't just, an effect on you
That's what the power of music is right there.
Yeah.
Because it can move you and you really don't know why it's moving you.
Exactly.
That's the power that's working.
If you don't know already, every one of your cells is broadcasting a sound, a frequency, but it's above the human capability of hearing.
Really?
Yeah. It's
we have little radio waves just going through our
body.
Look, if you've ever seen anything through those infrared heat sensor scopes and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It could, I mean, you can see the a human being through that, and it's not because of anything other than them being there. I mean, yeah, it's their temperature. I mean, you can get all scientific. But that is something that is being let out into the world from your body, whether you know it or not or like it or not. It's happening.
I'm a human furnace anyways. So.
Yeah. I would show up bright, red or yellow, whatever the darkness is. Yeah.
Tell you what, Steve.
We got to go. We got to take a break.
No, I'm sorry.
What are you sorry about?
No, very interesting conversation I was having.
Good. Hey, you know what? And you made it even more interesting, so thanks for calling in.
And by the way, you're welcome for the FTP.
Oh, yes, it did work. I am so happy.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Put anything you want.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thanks, Steve.
Take it easy, man.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right.
Well, I'm glad he brought up aliens.
Yeah.
We weren't going to talk about that.
Well, I didn't know the first thing about it. Thank you, Doug.
I read ParanormalX.com. I read ParanormalNews.com. I read XProject.net. I read, anyway. So I'm just a voracious reader.
All right. Ooh, listen to this stuff.
Oh, this is spooky. It's moving.
I'm getting out of here. I'm scared.